Thank you, Peter. I'm announcing some additional members for the Committee on Government Contract Compliance. This is many addressed, you can get it as you go out. Russell Forbes, Deputy Administrator of the General Services Administration. Michael J. Galvin, Undersecretary of Labor. Everett L. Hollis, General Counsel of the Atomic Energy Commission, and John D. Small, Chairman of the Munitions Board. And I think you'll find for the distribution when you go out, this little booklet here, which gives you a bird's eye view of the budget in language that is simple and can be understood. It's an excellent booklet, and as I said last year, if you study it carefully, you can't be confused by the budget. That's all I have to say at this time.
A whole week has passed since we asked you whether you were going to run again.
Well, I'll tell you, Ed, I think enough questions have been asked on that, and there's so many more important things, I think you ought to drop that for the time being. When I get ready to make an announcement, I'll make it formally, and you'll all know about it.
I ask you one thing. Have you been getting any mail on the subject?
Not so much.
Tell us how it runs, Mr. President.
Well, you ought to know it's all favorable.
Mr. President, before you drop that, I don't want to excuse, but last week the Democratic State Committee in Pennsylvania asked you to seek re-election and President unwavering and enthusiastic support that you run.
Well, that's been done all over the country by various and sundry organizations, and I think it's time to drop the subject, as I said, if I'll go. Because when I get ready to make a formal announcement, I'll let you all know in plenty of time so you can get to the telephone.
I just thought Pennsylvania was all those wonderful votes that I'm making.
Mr. President, quite apart from your own decision as to when you want to make your statement as to intention, there's been a new development in the last 24 hours in which your name has been filed as a candidate in New Hampshire, as I understand, apparently without consultation with you or the National Committee.
I saw it in the paper this morning. It'll be taken off.
It will be taken off.
Mr. President, were cables to you from General Lowe in Korea intercepted?
No.
You aware that he has said that they were?
I have no comment on what General Lowe said, and we'll not talk about it further, Nate. She wanted to know something about General Lowe and the cables, and I said I received every message that was ever sent from him, but there's no further comment on General Lowe.
Mr. President, I've been asked by my paper to ask you this question. As a bit of background, in the Loyalty Investigation Program, there are 846 cases in which decisions of the Departmental Loyalty Board were reversed by the Loyalty Review Board. Now the question is, in changing, you have issued, I believe, two orders. In the first, you said loyalty should be based on, or not based on, reasonable grounds. And in the second order, you said on reasonable doubt.
That amended order was written at the suggestion of the Loyalty Review Board and at the suggestion of the Civil Service Commission. And the letters on that, I think, were released at the time. That's how
I've got the question yet.
Oh, well, go ahead. This is all background. Go ahead.
In setting the new reasonable doubt standard, was it your intention that these 846 cases would be reopened automatically and without discretion? Or was it your intention that these 846 cases would be reviewed before the person involved again were charged and their jobs again placed in jeopardy?
I would suggest that you read the two letters I referred to and also read the order very carefully.
Mr. President, we heard last night that you'd offered Ellis Arnold a job.
I might be in a frame of mind to give Ellis Arnold a job if he wanted, but he didn't come to see me about a job, and I don't think he wants one. I'd be glad to have him in the administration if he wanted to come.
President, there's been newspaper stories about a stop peepover drive originating around the neighborhood of the White House. Have you
Never heard of it. I don't want to stop anybody.
President, I beg your pardon, but I wanted to follow up Bill's question. I wonder if taking off your name in New Hampshire, would that set a precedent for if any other if the name were entered in any other primary, would that automatically be taken out?
No problem.
But Mr. President, I would like to put up one thing. If you have asked to withdraw your name, does that preclude you from being a candidate? I mean,
not at all. All these primaries are just eyewash from the convention meets, as you find out. Ask it again, please.
Well, the president said that he was going to have his name withdrawn from the New Hampshire primary. I want to make it clear that he didn't mean that precluded him from accepting the nomination.
Not at all.
And you said all these primaries are eyewash?
When it comes to the national convention meeting, it don't mean a thing.
Mr. President, why are you having your name withdrawn?
Why, there's any sense in my entering the primary. If I want to be nominated, I don't have to go into any primary. Term limitation, I think, is all right, but you must understand that by technicality, I've only had one term.
But in actuality, it was practically...
Well, you can translate it any way you want to, Ed. You and the Post Dispatch will do a good job on it, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Mr. President, just a technical point. Did you expect to withdraw by advising the man who entered your name or by replying to the Secretary of State of New Hampshire?
Well, whatever the formal manner is to do it.
Mr. President, I have a request to ask you a couple of questions from the Mexico Missouri Ledger, which I assume
that's a good paper.
Assume it doesn't have a staff correspondent.
No, it's a nice country daily, a very good paper, a friend of mine.
From Robert M. White, the editor. First, and this is his language, as a good Democrat and a believer in the United States world policy for peace, would not you consider it a duty to help personally in retiring Senator Kim?
Well, I'll answer to that. My answer to that, Tony, would be that I'll be glad to help retire any Republican senator. That's right.
Kim. I've got to get this down.
That's all right, Tony. He's got another question from my friend of the Mexico Ledger, and I want him to answer that.
Another question is, still quoting Mr. White, the Ledger has long advocated that past presidents of the United States be made lifetime members of the U.S. Senate. Do you agree with this idea?
I made that suggestion a long time ago, and Senator Brewster introduced a bill to that effect in the 80th Congress. It didn't get anywhere in the 80th Congress.
Mr. President, you're not ready to nominate a successor to Judge Waring?
I have not received his resignation as yet, or his retirement request. I don't know which it is. And I can't consider a successor until I know sure whether he's going to quit or not.
Will you probably consult South Carolina senators on that?
I'll take that matter up when it comes time for me to make it.
You don't have any comment to make on Judge Waring's resignation?
No, I haven't, because I haven't received it as yet. I think he's a very great judge, however. I'll say that for your benefit.
Mr. President, it is true, however, that Senator Brewster's bill would not have given you a vote.
I don't know what the bill provided me. If you're familiar with it or whatever you say, I'll do right.
My recollection is it gave no vote.
Mr. President, when can we expect the FCC on construction of new television stations?
I can't answer. I don't know.
Mr. President, Representative McKinnon said last Saturday that he had talked to you recently about the Bolivian pin situation, that you had told him you were working on it and hope to have something to announce on it in the near future. Do you have anything at this time?
No, not at present time.
All right.
We read that the announcement, but I'll let you know.
Mr. President, not to dwell on a field that you seem to be overdwelled there. Ellis Arnold in 1944 came out of the White House and said that Mr. Roosevelt definitely would run for a fourth term. Yesterday he came out and said he thought you were going to run again, and we asked him whether he thought his ability as a forecaster was
was standing up, and he said he didn't know, but he thought it might be interesting if we asked you today what you thought of him as a political prognosticator.
Well, I... As I told you a while ago, Smitty, I'm very fond of Ellis, and he's entitled to his own opinion, and it's only one man.
Mr. President, would you say that these various favorite son campaigns are strengthening or weakening the Democratic Party?
I have no answer to that.
Mr. President, Hoover, in a speech in New York on Sunday, suggested a reopening of the great debate on foreign policy. Do you have any comment on that?
No comment.
Mr. President, another, you haven't decided whether you enter the senatorial primary in Missouri.
No, I haven't, Tony. That would be the best answer to White query, you see.
Yes, sir. Well, I didn't want to make this Missouri day, but this bill has been introduced waiting the governor's signature in Missouri that puts your hometown in Grandview, where your sister lives, in the same district. And I just wonder if you plan to follow the course of John Quincy Adams and seek a House seat, I think.
Well, we'll have to wait and find out whether that's necessary or not, Tony.
Mr. President, did you see former Secretary of Defense Louis Johnson this week?
Yes.
Can you tell him what you talked about, sir?
Talk about politics in West Virginia. They all talk politics when they come to see me these days.
Mr. President, this week Senator Matassi attacked Julio Nash on your staff and said he had FBI reports, and I wanted to know if you had any comment on that or intend to ask Mr. Hoover how that could be possible.
It's in the same line that all the attacks that the pathological Mr. McCarthy has made on all of government employees that he doesn't like.
Do you think do you think he's telling the truth when he says he bases that speech on FBI reports?
Does he ever tell the truth? He does. I haven't found it out.
A couple of weeks ago, he attacked Mr. Lloyd, also on your staff, and he said at that time he had received some information from the Loyalty Review Board. Do you think, is that something being investigated?
I doubt very much that he received any information. He doesn't need information to become a character assassin. That's his business. And I'm not talking with immunity. I don't know anything about it. Explain this to me. Maybe I can give you a comment.
Well, in his speech, he favored an attack in the Pacific, I believe, comparable to the North Atlantic Treaty.
I can't comment on that because I'll have to read what he had to say in detail. We have defense treaties pending between us and the Philippine Islands, between us and Australia and New Zealand. And I don't know how much further Mr. Dewey wants to go, but I'll look at the thing, and maybe I can comment on it next time we have a meeting.
Mr. President, I just wondered, could we put you directly on the character assessment?
No.
I'm not saying point, Mr. President, not about the pathological character.
Would that be quoted correctly? No. You'll have to paraphrase it if you can. There's two or three definitions of that in the dictionary.
Survey another flood today. I wonder what's holding up appointment of that commission you were going to name for the Missouri Valley study.
Nothing. We're just trying to get the right people.
Are you having trouble, sir?
No. We're just about ready with it. As soon as it's completed, why, it'll be announced. And there's nothing holding it up except to be sure that we have the right people understand what flood control means, especially in these two great valleys.
President, what do you think of the Judiciary Committee of the House decision to investigate Mr. McGrath and the Justice Department?
Well, that's their privilege. They can investigate anybody. I'd advise them to investigate themselves if they feel like it.
Mr. President, I agree to send down an nominee for the Federal Power Commission soon.
Just as soon as I find a man or woman, I'll send it down.
President, is there a possibility that on that Federal Power Commissionership you might deviate a little and have a consumer representative rather than a power or a title like a power?
Say that again. I think you misconstrued what I want.
I was wondering if in making the new Federal Power Commissioner, you might deviate a little from the past policy and
I don't think I've ever appointed anybody to any commission that I didn't think represented the public at large.
How about the director of the CBA?
I have one in mind, and as soon as he's able to take the position, I'll announce him to you.
President, there was a story that you offered Bob Patterson, the late Robert Patterson's job as Attorney General, that came out of New York. Is that true or not?
No, it is not.
President, the report that you have urged the radio department of the Democratic National Committee to do everything they can to encourage as many television stations as possible to be in operation by next September. Would you like to say what you think about more television stations?
Oh, I think the more television stations we have, the more likely we are to get the truth over to the public. And that's no reflection on anybody.
Would you like to say whether or not you did ask the Democratic National
Committee? I haven't talked to the Democratic National Committee about it at all.
President, do you think the television is going to play a very big part in the campaign, regardless of who runs it?
Yes, the television is going to play a great part in any campaign that comes up.
Do you think, sir, that it's going to, over the years, revolutionize the type of campaign?
No, I don't. I think it's going to go along the lines of the campaign of 1948, which is mostly television. I got out where everybody could see me, and I won.
Getting back to Ellis Island, I wonder if said you'd like to have him in the administration. There's been reports that he has asked for the so-called cleanup job. Could you tell us about that?
No, that isn't true. That isn't true. When I get ready to make an announcement about him, why, you know it's plenty of time.
Will be appointed the first full board member in Tokyo.
I'm not, at the present time, I can't make an announcement on that.
Mike Casale is about to leave in a week or two. Do you have a man to succeed him?
Yes.
Can you give us his name?
No, I can't do it until the time's right, and then I'll tell you.
Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome, Smitty.